All right, we'll bring Senate rules to order. Will the secretary take the roll?
President Ellsworth.
Excused.
Vice Chair Flowers.
Here.
Vice Chair Boldman. Senator Brown.
Here.
Senator Ellis.
Here.
Senator Esp.
Here.
Senator Hertz.
Here.
Senator Lenz.
Here.
Senator Lynch.
Here.
Senator McGilvery.
Here.
Senator Morjo.
Excuse me.
Senator O'Brien.
Here.
Senator Regeer.
Here.
Senator Usher. Here. Senator Wellborn.
Excused.
Chair Fitzpatrick.
Here. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. We have an amendment to the rules. I'm going to have Mr. Everts explain the process here so he can explain to us what we're doing, and then we can talk about the amendment here that I've drafted up. So I'll turn it over to you, Mr. Everts.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are two ways to amend your rules during the session. One is through a motion, and the other is through another joint resolution to amend the rules. What happened this time is the majority leader made a motion on the floor regarding the changes that are in this paper that looks like an amendment. And so that motion is referred to under the rules to this committee. You make a decision on whether to approve this motion, and then it will be brought back up to the floor of the Senate under motions, and this paper copy will be sent out to all the members of the Senate, and then it takes a majority of the body to pass the motion, which amends the rules. So it's just a little bit different than what you're used to. And hopefully that explains it, Mr. Chairman.
So just for my clarification, what is the appropriate vote or motion that we make here? Is it is this just a recommendation, or what do we do here?
It is a recommendation to the full body of the Senate, and it's a motion to approve these amendments to the rules.
All right, so I think everybody's got a chance to look through this. Oh, I'm sorry. Senator McGilvery.
Mr. Chair, so I just want to clarify, did you make a motion on the floor to get us to this point?
Yes, I believe it was on Monday or Tuesday. I made a motion during motions to come down here for three purposes, of which are now contained in the...
Okay, so there was no specific motion. It was just come down here for three purposes.
Yes, I made a motion to come to rules to amend the rules for three reasons. Okay, so I want to go through the amendment that I've prepared, and then we can take questions. So the first is on page, would be the second page, looks like in Rule 5160, motions in the committee of the whole. What I wanted to do is clarify that the motion to indefinitely postpone is not in order until after the vote on second reading. That was, I guess this was my mistake when I drafted this originally back before the session. That was my goal, to keep the indefinite postpones until after the bill has been voted on. So that's the clarification there. If you flip to the third page, this was one that, again, this is another clarification. I think Senator McGilvery had the motion last time to ensure that people may not be recognized between the close and the vote, and we had that in the points of personal privilege. This just makes a flat blanket prohibition unless it's for the president, and the reason I left the president out is because he's the administrative leader of the body, and he may from time to time need to step up and call attention to the presiding officer. And then if you go to the final page, absentee voting, it's my understanding we're having some problems with the absentee voting, and what we've done here, and Mr. Everts can clarify this, is this is the rule from the House where you have the signed absentee form, and it can be delivered up to the rostrum, and then we can have the absentee voting in there. So I guess if we have questions on 51 or 5210, Mr. Everts can explain the mechanics in the House. I mean, I think most of us were in the House, so this would be the same procedure we used over there. I guess I'll open this up now to discussion. Senator Ellis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess a question for Mr. Everts. I had a question on 50-210, and I remember last session when Finance and Claims was called off the floor of the Senate a number of times, and I just wanted to know, because it looks like all of a sudden we would be excused if the Senate continued its business, and unless we're back, we couldn't vote on third reading. That seems a concern to me, and I just want to make sure. I mean, maybe the Senate will be at ease during that time. I just don't remember the circumstances, but I wanted you to talk about that.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator, you have to be present and voting for third reading. It's kind of a constitutional requirement. So if that happened last session, I'm sure that the Senate stood at ease until the Finance and Claims members were back for third reading. This only applies to second reading.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Everts, so what we can do is just ensure that the president knows that he's not supposed to do third reading while we are gone, whatever committee he excuses.
The answer is yes. We'll make sure if people are gone in committee, we won't do third reading. I want everybody present to be able to vote on third. Senator McGilvery.
Just to clarify in my mind, were we just disregarding? Mr. Everts said you constitutionally you have to be present to vote on third reading. So if I'm not mistaken, we've been allowing third reading votes by proxy. Or were those people voting on Zoom?
Senator McGilvery, they would be voting on Zoom because our definition of presence includes present electronically. So if you are Zoomed in, you are considered present for purposes of a third reading vote. But if you are not there electronically, you're at home or the hospital sick, and somebody's voting a proxy, you are not allowed to vote on third.
So, and just a clarifying question, how are we verifying that the person is really the senator on Zoom? What's the process?
I can't remember exactly. We have some kind of security code, if I recollect correct. Maybe Senator Hertz or Senator Esp can tell us the process.
Mr. Chairman, before you're going to be gone, they give you a unique code, and you have to type that into your voting dashboard before you can vote.
So a clarifying question. There's no way to confirm that vote is actually being voted by the senator in question, because they're hypothetically, if you don't see them, that has potential for abuse.
I mean, Mr. Senator McGilvery, that's true. I guess we certainly agree. We've got to trust that each senator is going to vote their vote. I mean, I
believe in trust, but verify.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, committee, that code too is a, I have a code generator on my phone. That code is good for 60 seconds. So you need, and then that's verified within the system once you log on. It's pretty hard for somebody else, unless they have complete control. They know my password, so I got to log in also. And then I have to put my password in, and then I have to enter in a code. So someone would have to probably be holding a gun to my head to get all that information. But.
All right, any further questions? Senator Usher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This, I guess the proxy form, it doesn't talk about whether or not we're, as a whip or designee, actually has to fill out each individual vote that's coming up, or if they can say, follow this person's vote.
Uh, My recollection in the House was is that you could designate to follow somebody. I think Senator Hertz can clarify that. He was my whip, and he did my voting for me.
Mr. Chair, member of the committee, Senator S. was gone one day, and I was in his proxy, and I talked to Marilyn. And there is a box right now on our proxy forms that you can just check. It says, follow this senator for votes and amendments. So I would assume we can continue to do it that way.
Mr. Chair, I knew that that was the way that we were allowed. It just doesn't specify it here. I just wanted to make sure it's covered.
Yeah,
that's all.
It's fine with me. We'll have a form that looks like that. All right, any further discussion, Senator Ellis?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, and this, I may not have heard a private conversation that you had with Minority Leader Flowers, but one of the things I'm reading in that 210 is sub 3 indicates that sub 2 requires an absentee vote authorization form be signed, and I assume that that doesn't have to be signed. Well, we don't have a floor session really today, but some of the people in our caucus are not in Helena, and so it's difficult to get. And then the second thing is, I just wanted to understand the sentence in 3, sub 3, in that it says that you have to turn that absentee voter authorization form into the rostrum before voting on the motion has commenced. So that means it's not like order of business number, whatever. It's an actual motion. And do we have to designate which motions we're going to be voting on, because sometimes there's amendments, and I'm just trying to understand what that means exactly.
Sure. So, Senator Ellis, we're going to accept electronic signatures or photographs of signatures. So if somebody's gone and they sign a piece of paper and send us a picture, it would be no different than the pre-authorization forms. I know I've done that. I print it off at my office, sign it, and send a photo back. So that's how we'll treat those. In terms of the specific language, I'm interpreting this as you have to have it in more or less before second reading, and the motion referred would be the each specific due pass, but it's one form that would apply to each. Is that correct?
Thank you. Is that right? Thanks.
All right. Any further discussion? Senator Lentz.
So, Mr. Majority Leader, my question on page 24, except for recognition of the President of the Senate, the Senator, it may not be recognized. What if the President is absent? Should we have something, or his, the pro tem, or his designee?
Let me, if the President is gone, does it automatically default to the pro tem?
It usually does. But so, if you want to put in designee, we can too.
Okay, we'll put in designee. So okay. I'll make a motion. Well, I guess I should move this first, right? I move to approve these amendments to the rules, and then I'll make a conceptual amendment to add in or the words his designee.
All right, Chairman.
Yes.
You might just say, or designee, the President of the Senate could be a lady at some point.
Okay, we'll do that. Or designee, those will be the words for the motion. All right, discussion on the motion by the Senator, or I guess I made the conceptual amendment. Everybody good with it? Try voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so that amendment goes on. All right, any further discussion on this proposed amendment?
I'm just curious, Mr. Chair, for the absentee voting, do we want to add electronic, since we're doing electronic authorization or sign the vote authorization?
I don't think we need those words, but I guess I'll leave it to the discretion of the committee. You guys want to add in the words electronic authorization?
I think, I guess, Mr. Chair, if Mr. Everts is okay with it and it's defined elsewhere, I'm that's acceptable. I just want to make sure we didn't miss it.
I think it'll be fine.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Let's check. We'll try voice vote on this amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The motion carries. Anything else? All right. We're adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
All right.